Yeah, I did it. I think I did it once when we were running the show. I'm like, oh, I don't think we're doing this every time, and I really don't want to, because you're just sitting there for like a good minute and a half, like just staring. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm too tired to stare at the screen for a minute and a half after that.
So I'm going to go bring my wife her Switch 2, which I didn't realize was trapped in this room with me, because I don't want to get gutted like a fish.
Oh, no.
And so I'll be right back. Feel free to keep talking. I can still hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I could only imagine. That would be grounds for divorce in my household.
You could have muted and, like, done that real quick while we were talking about it.
That's fine. I mean, we've gone to the bathroom in the middle of recording in the past, too. Like, you know, things happen. But,
I should give belated coin concede to my husband also for being supportive with this. The long night's recording, which is not as late because I'm in California, but even so, you know, we plan our lives around it. And he was watching for at least some of this today. Saw him in chat.
We've gotten to the point now where Maureen and Twinbee are just like watching all of the Marvel movies, so they don't really care that I'm not out there, and I'm not really watching it with them anyway, because I don't need to do that. So,
yeah, we have to have shows that are like him only shows and shows that are us shows, and some shows I'll be like, okay, I am interested in this, but not enough, and you need a you show, so just tell me what happens. That's fine.
Conveniently, you know, joined the show when I didn't have a lot going on in my life, right? I worked like a part-time job at a deli, a food co-op, and you know, not a lot of other stuff taking up huge amounts of time.
And not a kid, yeah.
Right, and not a kid. So when the kid came along, you know, continuation of getting to do my stuff in terms of podcasts and casting and everything was like, hey, I'm going to take care of her all day. So I would like to keep doing my hobbies. It's how we navigated negotiations.
It's kind of like I've started realizing that, like, we're going to be at the point where all of the kids are going to be out of the house in 2 years. And like,
wait, no.
I mean, for college.
All of them?
Yeah, because the twins are only two years younger than the oldest.
Why did I think
we're gonna have three in college all at the same time? And then I thought
there was a bigger gap.
Yeah, and like Maureen and I are gonna have like all this time that we're gonna have to figure out what the hell we're doing, because like we have our own things that we're doing, but like a lot of it's like with one of the kids or whatever, and like, oh yeah, like, is it going to be okay that I'm like, you know, heading off to do this for 3 hours? I mean, I imagine it will be, but like, you know, I'm going to be heading off to do this for 3 hours on a Thursday when she's like the only other one in the house. Like, you know, which is, you know.
Long way off, but definitely on my list is learning how to sail. On Lake Erie, to be clear.
Yeah. That involves too much time outside for me. But yeah.
Wait, Hat. You used being in the passenger seat with someone learning how to drive as a reference for Wicked. Have you done that?
I mean, my parents have done that with me and were very clear about how they felt repeatedly.
Oh, okay.
at high volumes. So no, I have heard enough about this experience from my mother to understand it in one driving session, by the way, bless her heart, to understand the perspective shift, and it felt like an accurate analogy. But no, I do not have the personal experience there.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is that you don't have to worry about like crashing into something in that, which is where I was mostly worried.
Yes. But. And I mean, you know, I typically drove for a while, and then there were a couple times when, like, my wife took over, and it's like, oh, being over here is a little weird. Yeah. But it wasn't quite the same shift as having to instruct the other person, but it was still, like, the feeling of, I feel like I'm too far over and I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Is still kind of there.
And and we're going to hit something if you're not, like, coming over, but you're actually where you're supposed to be. And, like, yeah. So
yeah.
It took her a while to, like, drive fast enough. Which is not what I expected the experience to be like. I expected that I was going to be like, slow down. It's like, no, you're going so slow that people are passing you on a double yellow. Like, you need to, you need to speed up.
Yes, that is actually important. Sometimes, like, so I used to work in Makerspace and I worked with students, but if there was something that I had figured out first and had enjoyed doing on my own, and then you're teaching it to a student and they're going really slow at it, or they're doing it a totally different way than you would do it. That's a perfectly good way, but it's not how you would do it. And you just have to, like, completely internalize all of that. Not show it. Not be like, well, hold on. Or, you know, also doing English classes. And yes, I do kind of teach everything because it's a weird school. If you're teaching an English class and they're doing a creative writing assignment, I love creative writing. And most students, you cannot make a suggestion. A few students, because they're so strong-willed, you can make a suggestion because they will just say, meh, and write their own thing still. But other students, it's like, no, you really can't. I do have one English class right now, and she is the kind of student who will just do anything. So that's actually really fun because we can kind of collaborate on it. But you have a certain power when you're the teacher, so you don't want to be... I've gone off the analogy now completely. I think it started out on it, and now I'm just completely off.
That's what the bonus. That's what the post show is for, is taking the analogy and beating it to death.
Yeah. So. When your brain is absolutely goo from 2 hours of straight yapping, yes, and then you continue to yap against all medical advice, and it's just, yeah, like, there was something I was thinking at the beginning of this sentence, and I meant to get there, and I knew where it was going, and somehow that feeling left, but I kept on yapping.
I was nervous for a bit that this weekend was going to be just crazy long matches, and then the meta changed, and it is better for me to cast, it is worse for me to play.
Honestly, who could have expected that free 8/8s would have been good again? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
yep, you know,
just this crazy world of ours,
it's all back, the giants, the Incendius. Right, Insidious, yeah, in both Druid and Rogue.
Sure, why not?
You know? Yeah, the first time I hadn't realized that there was a spell damage Druid until I ran into one. And I'm like, oh, they got a Mirrodrasil out on too. That's pretty good. But they're not a Hamul Druid, so what are they doing? And then it was like,
they're killing you. Yeah.
I'm just dead. That is what they're doing.
If they played a Mirrodrasil on two, they are an Mirrodrasil Druid. The specifics are irrelevant. Just, like, accept what happens. Like, that's just how it is.
There is tech against a Mirrodrasil in the lineups this weekend.
Oh, are we demo renoing? Are we that?
Yes, we are.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That's amazing.
That is absolutely something. That is a thing. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, but I should have known.
I forgot that was still in core, honestly. I thought that had rotated out. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Esports is always so interesting for Hearthstone because there are cards that, like, you absolutely should not play on ladder.
We're going to see those on ladder now after this, too.
Well, I know. And this is, we always, after a big esports event, have to give the disclaimer of, like, hey, if you're taking some of these lineups and lists, take out the tech cards because... they're playing in a different circumstance.
They also have pre-sideboarded these decks.
Like, yeah. I always, when we do predictions, I use it as an opportunity of who do I hope will win, not who do I predict will win. Unlike my UK compatriots who, you know, take a look at all the lineups and then choose the one they like. I'm like, nope, I choose pizza because I want pizza to win even more because of one of the decks.
Pizza's great.
Yeah. Well, and he brought a deck that is questionable, but fun.
It's I mean, you just got to believe. And then
indeed, you got to believe. Yep.
It's Aviana always gets there. Always gets there.
wait. Is he playing Aviana Priest?
Aviana Druid.
Oh, Aviana
the,
Druid.
The five
oh,
mana
that's,
one.
That's okay. Okay. So he's not that crazy. Okay. Because like Aviana Priest, that's something that I have all the respect in the world, but I wouldn't bring that to a playoffs, but you know, or a Masters Tour rather.
You just gotta believe.
I'm sure it's fine. I mean, I guess if you think everything's going to go long and you want to have five extra cards, whatever many extra cards left in your deck, that's, you know, that works out. No,
that Druid exists because there is a expansive number of draw a minion cards in Druid.
Oh, okay.
Right,
you just find them, yeah.
Right, okay. You've got reforestation. You've got the neutral demon who discovers a minion, which is actually better to play after Aviana because then you get to look at three of the legendaries. And then there's the draw two minions or draw two spells flip card.
So this is like Monsanto bringing jungle giants to like to playoffs is basically
boy
what
that
this
is a reference I did not expect to hear today, but yes. Yes it is. Yes it is that.
I mean, we're going back to Angoro, so it's bringing back those memories, you know.
Yeah
it's topically appropriate. Man,
so apparently I need to get Expedition 33.
Buddy.
Yeah,
yes you do. It is. I haven't enjoyed a JRPG I haven't sought out a JRPG in a long time. Like, I don't have a problem with the genre. Just I fell out of favor with it, like, since the Super Nintendo. I played some in the PS1. But it just was a thing that I kind of stopped doing. Because, like, the lengthy dialogue and the anime tropes and whatever, it wasn't. After, like, I think Final Fantasy X was the last one that I really enjoyed.
Mm.
That was. Oh, yeah. I feel like that was sort of a generational Final Fantasy.
It was great. Like, that era was really strong, and it was great. Expedition 33, I watched my wife play the beginning of it, and then instantly asked her when I could start playing, and she said, after I finish, wait your turn. And so, it's got a really excellent, like, parry-based combat system. But also the character building is actually deck building.
Yeah.
It's actually deck building. And then a really great script. And also, you can platinum the game in under 60 hours. The main story is probably close to 30. So it is, like, it is just the right duration. There's a bunch of optional super endgame content that you can do if you want to, and is super cool, but you don't have to. The actual main story playthrough is like probably 30 hours. And it's the pace of the script is really exceptional. Just a warning, the entire game is about processing grief. So just be ready for that. It's beautifully done. It's really well done. Okay. It's extraordinarily
and it starts from the very beginning. It starts from the very
from
beginning.
From the very beginning.
And hits you in the feels immediately.
It is so French. It is so, 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 so French.
Is it dead dad grief?
It is.
Dead everybody grief, basically.
The beginning of the story, I don't think this is spoilers, like the first 5 minutes.
I mean, it's basically the whole premise of the game, so I don't think you're spoiling anything.
So there's a town where there's a big monolith with a number on it that started at 100 and counts down every year. And every year it ticks down at the exact same time every year. And then at sunset that day, everyone that age or older disappears into flower petals. It's called the Gomash. And so it's kind of like a Logan's Run thing where people over a certain age stop existing, but also it's this inexorable countdown of a society that fears that it is going to stop existing. The society has adapted to make the Gomash kind of a pre-wake celebration of life. They sell flowers, people wear flower necklaces, like, and people give them flowers to anoint them with as a celebration of their life. And then at sunset, they hug each other and cry and acknowledge the beautiful death very Frenchly. And then people vanish into dust in front of their eyes like Thanos snapping his finger. So that is the intro to the game. So, and you see, like, you see children, like, that lose their parents and then go to the orphanage. Like, that's a thing that you see happen. You see, like, one member of a married couple disappearing and the other member still being there. You see couples disappearing together. Like, it is a sad moment, and the story is entirely about processing grief. It is beautifully done. It is excellent. There are lighthearted moments, but it is a game that is really about processing grief down to its very core. So be aware of that.
So, I can do that. My specific points are losing, like, a dad specifically, and zooming in on that, right? Because I lost mine when I was 15. And, I learned with Rachel when the most recent season of House of the Dragon happened, and that first episode, that stuff with kids dying hits different now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any kid dying stuff. I think that you're fine.
Yeah.
I think that you're fine.
Yeah. There's also neither of those things in Trails in the Trails in the Sky, just so you know.
Yes, but see, this is one game.
No, yeah. That's only going to be one game because they have to remake all the other ones. It'll be a couple years before they come up with the next one. You'll be fine.
Well, certainly you won't insist that people should try the other ones as they exist now just so they can see the difference.
No, you know what? I know my audience, and I know that she's not going to go for – I mean, it is – if you're going to play the second one, because the first one does end on a cliffhanger, but if you're going to play the second one, you're going back to like 2003 JRPGs, which is a big shift.
Look, I still got to finish Lies of P – Horizon Forbidden West DLC, Ghost of Tsushima DLC, which I want to finish before.
The new Ghost game is coming out soon. The new Ghost game is coming out.
Ghost of Yote.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to also. Yeah.
I feel like my secret weapon for not having to catch up so fast is that I manage to be so tuned out of things that it will not be spoiled for me if I just like wait until the new game comes out on sale.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably wait for, I mean, it's on Game Pass, but you could probably just wait for Expedition 33 to go on sale. I'm sure it will be in a couple months. But...
Yeah.
I would be playing it if I wasn't having all those navigation issues. And at some point I will probably get a video guide and get through that piece of it. But
I have to figure out what I'm playing it on, because I don't actually own a PC, but I probably should.
Great substitute is a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
That's true.
And it's a lot cheaper.
It is.
Yes. So I do love my Mac, but not everything works on the Mac. So yeah. It is sad.
This is probably not going to run on the Mac. Well, I don't know. They're going to be pretending to care about gaming again at WWDC, apparently. So maybe it'll run on the Mac. Maybe that'll be their big announcement. I imagine it'll probably be some 3-year-old game that everybody's forgotten about that will run on the Mac. But, you know.
Nah,
like,
we'll
last
see.
Time it was like Resident Evil Village in like 2022.
Well, that had already been out for like 2 years. That can do it. Or tell my brother he really needs a new laptop already, and then I steal his. It's like, it needs to be plugged in all the time. It's not great as a laptop, but I can just leave it on the desk and have a machine that'll play Expedition 33. So I will figure this out. And even my husband is interested in it. He doesn't usually play RPGs. So he's at least interested in watching me play.
Really great. Strongly recommended.
Yeah, I liked the few hours that I was playing until I got hopelessly lost. I did actually really appreciate it.
Yeah. So. I will also note, like, that is a part of the game. I'm not saying from necessarily an artistic standpoint, just like it's a thing that's going to happen in multiple places. I don't know if it's ever on purpose, but it doesn't feel like it's by accident. So just as long as you're prepared for that to be a part of the experience, it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, and it's probably, that's also an early part that they probably did first and they didn't necessarily have it, you know.
I am managing expectations with you. That's going to happen throughout the entire game. It is going to repeatedly happen. It is going to be a part of the experience. The 30 hours of the base story is including getting lost a bunch of times, because every person that I've seen play will do that. That will happen. Still a stealth game, still a streamlined experience, but wandering around an area, like asking yourself, have I been here? That's going to happen in most areas. So
yeah,
make peace with that.
I'm struggling with Final Fantasy IX also, which I'm also playing simultaneously with 16 because that I'm playing on the Steam Deck. And like,
okay,
that game is old, and it is does not have any navigation help when you're on the. It's like I'm on, and like
wasn't that like 2003 or something?
Well, it was PlayStation 1, right? So it must have been. Yeah.
2000. That game is 25 years old.
Yeah, and they didn't they had DualShocks, and they apparently did not know that you could use the second stick on the DualShock to adjust the camera on the world map, because it sure doesn't. And it is very hard to navigate, and I just get, like, so lost in that game. And it's just like... And it's like I'm just walking from part. I've walked like past the town I'm supposed to walk to like three or four times just because like I didn't turn the camera enough. And it's like I know this game is good. Like I love the story. It's the same thing, right? Like the story's great. I really enjoy it. And then like actually playing the game, it's not so great. But supposedly that there's rumors that might be the next one that they remake after they're done with 7. So in 10 years, maybe I'll try it. There. I mean, I'm still playing it, but you know, I don't know if I'm how much further I'm gonna stick with it. I apparently just got to disc 2 of 3 according to the walkthrough that I'm using.
That's why I need to get my husband to play Expedition 33 with me, because he is like incredibly good at navigation and visual memory. Yeah. He will know. I will not know, but he will know. Now, does he have time to do this with me through the whole thing? Absolutely not. But
yeah.
We can try anyway.
Yeah. I just kind of felt like, oh look, kids, Big Ben Parliament, like you know, from European Vacation, where they're just driving around the circle over and over again.
Oh God, what a reference!
Yeah,
I watched that on video cassette.
Yep. Yeah. So if you want to feel old, welcome to my life, because that's all I'm doing is just making people feel old now. And then, you know, oh this thing's 25 years old. This thing's 30 years old. We should probably find someone to raid at this point, I would imagine.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me see who's on. Let's see. We can raid Tito. We'll send folks over Tito's way, since we gave Tito a shout out anyway. Let me figure out which one of my 16 windows is going to do that. Okay. Hold on.
Steam Deck compatibility playable.
Well, that there's a million things that are playable that that's playable is fine usually. Like it's when it says like not supported that you have to worry, but playable is generally like, oh well, the text is really small. Like a lot of the time, that's
usually that means it's a text readability thing.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for coming out.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll say hi to Tito, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.